Today on Deeply Shallow.
Siblings. I don't care what your parents say, they do have a favorite. And if you have to ask, it's probably not you.
Hello.
Hey, remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us, Matt and Tara, as we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth,
or any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. What's going on, Shallow Squad? Welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you are feeling deep or you are feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. We could call him Oscar the Grouch today because he's in a shit mood, Mr. Matt Hanley.
Well, and I'm sitting next to the trash can that has created my bad mood.
You are so cranky today. What is your problem?
Okay, well, we can get into that, but let's just say you have not been the most easy to work with person on this day.
I disagree, but let's check in with your mental health to kind of give me, I'm going to need some kind of plot point to kind of work with.
Yes. Yeah, so I am probably at a 6, and I was at a...
That is much higher than your text messages are coming across to me.
I am at a 6 for general population. I am at probably a 3 with you. My most recent text to Tara was, "I'm going to strangle you." That was the last text that I think she got from me.
No. And then I responded with the gif of the little girl going down the slide waving bye. But then I was like, "But also I'm hungry, so can you bring me some food?" And if that doesn't explain a brother-sister relationship, I mean, I don't even know where to go from there.
I agree. So, as always, yes, for our mental health check, my number today is a 6.
Okay.
And here's why. We're in the throes of all things holiday.
Yes.
We've gotten through Thanksgiving, Christmas is on the horizon, all of the parties, kids have concerts, and I mean, everything is going on right now. So it's like, it's a lot. It's kind of overwhelming this month with all the things.
Sure.
What about you?
I am 8-ish. I'm in a pretty good mood today. It is my last day of work for the week before my, you know, little vacation.
Nice.
So that's got me feeling pretty high.
Good. Good.
So I would say I'm at an 8, a good solid 8.
Well, that is really good.
The fact that I am annoying you, though, might bump me up to like an 8.7.
Yeah, that's the love and concern.
Yes, exactly.
OK, Tara, so today we are talking siblings.
We are.
We both have siblings.
We do.
And some days we love them. Some days
we wish we were only children.
Some days we wish we were only children. So, yes, today we're talking about siblings. And we decided to title the show Siblings. Yes, your parents have a favorite.
It's so true.
It is incredibly true.
Do you think you would have been a good only child?
It's funny you bring that up because, you know, as we get into this, I actually may be considered an only child.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the only girl, so maybe I might be able to sneak into that category too. I don't know. We'll see.
Potentially. We'll see. So it's funny that you bring this up about whether or not you could be considered an only child being the only girl. So you have two siblings.
I do. I have two younger brothers.
Two younger brothers.
So I'm the oldest.
You are the oldest.
Yes.
Okay. So I have two older sisters that happen to be twins, and so I am the baby.
Okay.
So I had this article from Real Simple. Ingela Ratledge writes this article, what your birth order says about your personality.
Okay.
So I want to hit you with, and this really just deals with firstborn, middle child, and the baby. And I want to see, you being the oldest and me being the youngest of our respective families, if this applies.
Okay. And real quick, I'm married to a middle child. What is Banana? The baby?
She is the baby.
Okay.
Shocking.
Okay, so two babies being married to each other.
Yes, that's...
That makes a lot of sense. I can actually see that.
Okay, so the stereotype, and this is kind of where she's coming from. So she has these stereotypes for the firstborn, middle child, and baby.
Okay.
For the firstborn, which would be you.
Mm-hmm.
Stereotype, natural leader, ambitious, and responsible.
Ding, 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 ding. That sounds just like me.
That's all you? You're going to claim this stereotype for
Okay, let's go through it again.
Natural leader.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
Ambitious.
Extremely.
And responsible.
That one gets a little bit into a gray area because remembering things and not losing things, that's something that, you know, I kind of struggle in that department.
Right.
So I'm going to give myself half.
Half credit
half
there.
Points.
Okay.
Okay.
So for those of you who are out there that are a middle child, that would be described, the stereotype would be social butterfly, peacekeeper, fairness obsessed.
Okay. I do think that's Hubba.
Okay. Yes. He absolutely is a peacekeeper. Yeah. No question. But I've never really known him to be fairness obsessed. If either of the
that's
two
true.
Of you, it would be, to me, it would be you that would be the fairness yeah. obsessed one.
That is actually really true. I hate gray area.
Right.
Like I am so black and white
yeah.
that I cannot stand a gray area. And you're right. Hubba kind of is like most comfortable in a gray area.
Yeah.
Like, just he can see anybody's point yes, of view. It's right. so annoying.
Right. So, so your brother.
Reagan is my middle
brother. Reagan's the middle brother. Would you say this is descriptive of him as a middle child?
No, I do. I don't think Reagan is a social butterfly. So I would.
That's true. He does not have that personality.
I would not say that is him. I would say that he is more, you know, kind of checks and balances. I could see him being more fair. I don't know if I would say he's fair obsessed.
Right.
But fair. And then the other one was peacekeeper.
Peacekeeper.
Okay. I do think he is a peacekeeper.
He is a peacekeeper.
I think he would rather take the blame for something that he didn't even do than two other people argue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the baby stereotype is free spirit, risk taker, and charming. If that doesn't describe your youngest...
If that is not Declan all day, every day, and twice on Sunday, I don't know, especially the charming.
Yes.
At least
yes.
he thinks he's charming.
Yes. To me, when I read that, like, I read that and I thought about your little brother. But here's what's interesting. Like, I don't really describe myself as a free spirit, even though I'm the youngest, the baby of the family. I don't really describe myself as a free spirit.
I don't know. I kind of see some free spirit type things about you.
Do you?
I do. You're very spontaneous. Like, you will pack a bag and get on a plane and go to, like, Portugal and text me and be like, bitch, I'm in Portugal. Like, well, so I can kind of see that.
Yeah. What's crazy is my older sister. So my sisters are twins and they are 7 years older than me. One of them, to me, is more of the free spirit because she, if you think that I will get on a plane and go somewhere, I mean, she will go drop at the drop of a hat, be gone, you know, by herself for, you know, some desolate area for weeks at a time.
Like, sure.
She's totally into that. But what's interesting is that I really felt like the fairness obsessed thing described you so well on the middle child. And I was like,
I'm a psycho when it comes to things not being fair. Like, I cannot stand for it. I will fight every battle that I think is unfair.
I think that is probably, I really think that could be one of your biggest triggers.
Yeah.
Like, as far as
absolutely.
Your personality, like, to put you into a full-on rage.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get me 0 to 60 real quick.
If something does not seem fair. And
yes.
it doesn't even necessarily mean that you have been treated unfairly. It is just if there is an unfair, something that you have witnessed, you are about the cause.
If I am walking down the street and I see two total strangers, this is none of my business, people. And I think that something unfair is going on. It's like this pull that drags me. I will be holding on to a door being like, please don't get involved. Please don't get involved. Please don't get involved. My husband is like trying to hold on to me. Like,
but
the force of fair is just
yes.
pulling me
yes.
to get involved in everyone's business.
To
it's
seek
the
justice.
Worst.
To
yes.
seek
I am the justice seeker.
See, that could have been why you were leaning towards, you know, a career in the legal field.
Maybe so.
You could have righted a lot of wrongs.
Yeah. And then I realized what being an attorney actually is. And I was like, well, this is unfair.
This is
unfair. I am out of here. Instead, I'm going to go coach the most subjective sport in the game and have a bunch of other people tell me what's fair.
We could talk about fairness and cheerleading scores. That could be two episodes. So
one would want to listen to. They'd be like, if we want to listen to this crazy lady rant, like, we would have married her. We'll sign our kid up for cheerleading.
Okay, so then she goes on to talk about some other things about, like, there potentially are things that can throw these stereotypes off. One of which is temperament. So, like, you're born with a certain temperament.
I think so, yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, so based on that you may not actually fit into one of the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I thought was interesting, too, was the age spacing. So, like, the closer you are in age, a lot of times, the more these are relevant.
Okay.
So, like, she talks about if you're, like, between 2 and 4 years age difference between you and your siblings, respectively, mm-hmm. That these apply normally a lot heavier.
Okay.
Whereas, like, for me, with being 7 years younger than my sisters, that I'm almost treated like a firstborn, an only child, because there's so much of a gap. Because, I mean, my sisters went to college when I was in middle school. So, you know, like, there was a good chunk of my...
Well, what's also interesting about that is Declan, the youngest in my family,
yeah.
he is 10 years apart from me.
From you, yeah.
And he is the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that description was perfect for him.
Right.
So that's interesting.
It is interesting. So we both come from families of three that have three children in them.
Right.
I think that's relatively common now. Mm-hmm. I think 2 to 3, 4 kids in a family is a very common.
Sure.
Very common. But your mother did not come from a two, three kid family.
No.
How many siblings does your mother have?
My mom is the youngest of 11.
Of 11.
11 kids.
Okay, if you have 11 kids now, what are you?
A bazillionaire.
You're a bazillionaire or you're weird,
yeah. right?
Like, this world is not made for big families.
Which, no.
I mean, so that's a party of 13 at Chili's. Do you know how...
Oh, my God.
You're never getting seated. You're never going out to eat.
Yeah, you're getting charged, like, a gratuity... You're walking into Chick-fil-A, they're putting an extra 20% on your bill.
You know you have a big family if you have the automatic gratuity added to your check.
Yes.
That is a huge family by today's standards.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting because, and I'm sure your mother has got stories that she could tell on her siblings, you know, for forever.
But she's not here, so I'll tell some.
Okay, well, she's not here. Why don't you hit us with a couple?
Yeah. Okay. So honestly, like, all of my aunts and uncles are pretty cool people.
Yeah.
But I have this Aunt Kathy who she is the cool aunt that you want to take everywhere with you because she's like hysterical.
Right.
She doesn't have any kids of her own.
Okay.
Like, you can be 30 years old and if she sees you, she's going to like smush your cheeks together and be like, oh, angel baby, you're so gorgeous. Like, she's the best. Okay. You go eat with her in a restaurant one time.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, the waiter came up and said, can I get you guys anything? She picks up my youngest brother out of his high chair. And goes to hand him to the waiter. Like, if you could change his diaper, that like, she's just so crazy and hilarious. Like, I just love her. She's the best. But I will never forget that the first time she met Hubba, you know, back when we were like much younger.
We
were just dating.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says to him in the same setting, I don't know which came first, but in the same setting, she said that he had beefy arms and like kind of like gave one of them a squeeze. And I was like, it's a little weird, but okay. And that he had powerful thighs. And I was like, well, I'm going to go die now.
That could go down as being one of the strangest compliments to give a man.
Yes.
I've never.
Like, Hoppe was very flattered by this information. He's like, you hear that, babe? Beefy arms, powerful thighs. But I was just like, okay, like, this is strange. But like,
But she felt she was.
But I mean, she's just there to put it out there. And, you know, she's just that cool lady.
I just cannot imagine your mom ever saying that.
Oh, my gosh.
Because your mom is like not that's just not her personality.
I'm not sure my mom has even ever told my dad he has beefy arms. Like, I can't even imagine those words coming out of her mouth. So it is crazy how different siblings can be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's what, and I think that's part of what makes it so fun is that you have this family and then you have these children that are all just completely different.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So when you have a bunch of these crazy personalities,
yes,
sometimes they complement each other and sometimes it creates a very volatile situation.
And you're assuming that each child only has one personality.
Exactly. Right?
I mean, don't we agree that there could be multiple?
That's always not the case.
There's multiples could be potentially.
Right. So when you were growing up, did you get along with your siblings?
Because there was such an age gap.
Mm-hmm.
It almost was like I had three mothers, you know, because they were so much older. I mean,
that sounds like my nightmare situation.
Well, so I mean, that really was, I mean, you know, when I was in middle school, like I said, my one sister drove me to school in the morning, you know, like it just was and then they went off to school. And so it was a really different dynamic. But I would say by and large, yes, I got along with my siblings, especially in the later years, like when I was in middle school and they were older. But now when I was a little kid, so they cried. Of course, when I was born, there were no, you did not know the sex of the baby like you do now, all that.
Right.
Well, so my grandmother staying with my sisters, my mom, you know, goes to the hospital to deliver me and all this. And so my mom calls from the, or my dad calls from the hospital to tell, and like both my sisters just start bawling.
They wanted a sister.
They wanted a little sister so bad. Now, if you think that that stopped them from doing all the things that they would normally do to a little sister, no, it didn't.
You were wearing all the dresses.
Yes.
Having all the tea parties.
Yes. They dressed me up. I mean, there was no, it didn't matter. I don't know why they cried about it. They treated me the same way. Unfortunately, there are also photos of this.
I was about to say, can we get some pictures of this by any chance?
Now, so being that y'all, or being that you and your brothers were closer in age,
right?
Especially you and Reagan, like
we were 5 years apart. All of our siblings are 5 years apart.
Y'all are 5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was it? What was it like there? Because not having another sister,
we always joke in my family that Declan and I were originally going to be twins.
Okay.
And then God was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that to that lady.
That may be too much.
Yeah, like I'm going to spread them out. I'm going to give them a nice kid in between these two wild animals." So Reagan, the middle kid, and myself, we are oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
We do not mix at all. There's not one thing about our personalities that's the same.
That's an overlap. There's no overlap.
We have no similarities at all. Our only similarity is that we both are obsessed with his girlfriend. And this is yet another reminder, Reagan, that I would like you to propose. That's genuinely the only thing we have in common. And so when we were growing up, I mean, we would go at it.
Really? Because he seems so passive.
I know. Well, so probably it was just me bullying him for his entire life. But yeah, so it was probably just me causing all the trouble. But then when he went to college, it was just like this switch flipped.
Really?
And we started to get along really well. Almost like we both got old enough to understand that each other's personalities weren't personal attacks on each other. Like, this was just who we were.
You were able to get some common ground on this philosophy.
Exactly. Like, he isn't quiet and perfect, to spite
just to piss you off. Yeah.
And I'm not loud and obnoxious just to annoy him. So we seem to kind of find an understanding. Now, Declan, because he was the baby, him and I were always like extremely close. Like we kind of ganged up on Reagan, even though Declan was like a baby. And we're also so similar. Like our personalities are so similar.
Sure.
And we also look a lot more alike than Reagan.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway, we got along really well until he went to college.
Until Declan
went to college. And now he is a pain in my ass. The only time he calls is when he needs me to bail him out of trouble with mom and dad.
Right.
Or he needs me to Venmo him $20 for a box of wine. So now we've kind of switched roles where he's a child and I'm sort of mothering him.
Right. I mean, it's becoming a full part-time job.
It really is.
Trying to keep him
from marrying a stripper until he at least graduates. That's what I spend half of my day doing.
Well, it's really interesting because obviously my sisters being twins, they are very close.
Sure.
And were for a long, long time. And still are. But as you know, with everything else, as you get older and you have more responsibilities and, you know, some of those dynamics can change. But what's really crazy is one of my sisters, Liz, and I, we should have been the twins as well.
Okay.
We look alike. Our personalities are the same.
You guys do look alike. You have the exact same face.
I mean, it's crazy because most people, like if they were to meet us for the first time, they would think that we were the twins.
Right.
And my poor other sister, who is very different from us, you know, personality wise. But it's interesting because after my dad passed away, because I was very, very close to my dad. So it's kind of my dad and I, and then my sisters were really close. And my mom was in school.
Right.
My mom went back to college when we
were. You can't sit with us, Ann.
Mom went back to college when I guess I was in middle school and my sisters were in college. And so like my mom was like doing that like full, you know, full bore. And so it was my dad and then my sisters. And so it was just kind of a crazy dynamic. But now that I'm kind of on the back end, you know, you're kind of getting into the phase where everybody is hopefully growing up. We'll hope, right, Declan gets there.
Fingers crossed.
But it's funny because we now, after several years of trouble, my sisters and I have finally gotten to a point where there's not any one-upsmanship with the gifts for mom and dad.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing.
You're all in it together.
We're all in it together. Mm-hmm. We have agreed, this has probably started several years ago, that we were going to go in on one gift.
Okay.
And everybody's name would be listed on it.
Okay.
Because there's nothing that can piss siblings off more than when somebody tries to one-up the other on a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Last year, my sister-in-law, who I do love, she and I get along very well.
For yourself.
She's great. She decides,
that was the most labored sentence you have said on this podcast.
Well, I'm trying to ignore the mumbling under your breath. So last year for Christmas, we get, you know, my in-laws like a $50 gift certificate to Olive Garden or something. You know, something.
High rollers.
Something. Well, like they're really weird about accepting gifts. So like I try to, you know, whatever. Well, my sister-in-law rolls in with this brand new laptop, like top of the line laptop for them. And I was like, well, ain't this shitty? Very rare.
Like, I also got you another gift. I left it at home. Remembered your $50 gift card to OG. But
so if there's some advice that I can give to you, like get that started early, Tara, because you don't need anybody trying to kind of jump in on your.
Yeah. Not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, my brothers and I, we do that. We have group gifts. Like, it was my mom's birthday in November. We sent a group gift. We signed everyone's name, even Declan's.
Even Declan's, who did not contribute to the.
My dad called me and he was like, just for clarification, how did Declan contribute any money? I was like, I covered his portion.
He contributed in spirit.
Yes.
Dad. That's
he contributed to the love that was attached to that edible arrangement.
But what is also funny is, though, is as you're growing up, like, even though you can be like full on raging on your sibling.
Yes.
You're still not going to allow anyone else to bully Reagan. Right?
Oh, nah.
Right. I mean, so even though y'all were oil and water, no one else got to bully Reagan.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that
I will go hard for them.
And that was the same for me. I was really fortunate because kind of just the way it kind of fell out, a lot of my sister's friends also had siblings that were like my age or whatever. So we all kind of knew each other. And so that helped. Because my one sister Liz is tough.
Like, yeah.
She's
I'm scared of her.
She's no bullshit. And so like there was I did walk the campuses of school with a little bit of an air of untouchability.
You're scared of my sister. I bruise like a peach, but pack a punch. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm this way now, is because I never had to like defend myself.
Maybe that's where
this comes from.
So really, this is all her fault.
This could be. Yes. In the blame game, this could be her fault.
Yes. Okay. So up to this point, we have been talking about biological blood.
Yes.
Can't get too mad about what I say about them on the podcast because they still have to see me at holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But you also kind of make siblings along the way.
I also believe this. Yes.
Yeah. I think that you especially in college, find friends who become as close to a sibling as you can really get.
I agree 100%. And I think that when it's, whether it's college, especially if you're at an away college, like away from home, or if you take that first job that's not, you know, in your hometown, like you do find kind of this community of family, you know, family, wherever you're living, you know, when you're away from home. I agree. Some of the best friendships, because you had to live with these people.
Right.
Once you live with someone,
you learn so much about them.
You do. And it has to go past just the casual friendship, even what you would consider a best friend in high school. Once you live with somebody.
Yeah.
That's a whole new ballgame.
You cross a different line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially if it goes well. Like if you're not packing up your shit in the middle of the night to get away from this person, like you're probably going to be close for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I have friends who I made at college who were there when I gave birth.
Right.
Who my child will call Aunt so-and-so.
Right.
And Uncle so-and-so. So no, definitely.
And that's not, you don't say that flippantly.
No, it's not like I walk into Walmart and like point at someone.
Yeah. So my mom had a lady that lived next door to them growing up, and my mom referred to her as Aunt Hazel. This was obviously when my mom was a child.
Right.
Well, that woman was Aunt Hazel all the way through, and her kids were cousins. I mean, like that was a relationship. That was a family relationship.
You absolutely. Know,
because they lived so close together and they did so many things together that it just became that. And like, it was years. I didn't know that until, I mean, I was probably in high school when someone said something about it. And I was like, what? Like, she's not, we're not like biologically or, you know, by marriage related. Like, no, they just grew up next door to us or whatever. And I think those are some of the best.
They are
the best people.
And because it's like, you can't choose your family, but kind of you can.
You kind of can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, and especially in light of today's interaction, that's where you and I get to, because we have adopted one another.
We have.
For better or worse.
Some would say more for better. Matt Hanley would say more for worse.
But it is because you do kind of forge. And I honestly struggle to remember exactly where like our friendship went to like a brother sister.
Me too.
Relationship. But there are times you call me and it is big brother talking to little sister or little sister.
Or big sister talking to little brother.
But, you know, you're coming from that place. Of,
right.
You know, of. You know, love and admiration for these people that you meet. But it also is really fun too, because again, hopefully Reagan's gonna propose soon.
Reagan.
And that's gonna be your first opportunity to have, you know, like that sister, you know, by marriage that you kind of never had. That you talked about.
Because I have felt so gypped that I never had any sisters.
Well, didn't you say you also cried when I was telling you the story about my sisters crying? Didn't you say you also cried
when they told me Declan was a boy? I was devastated because I knew that was probably going to be my last sibling.
Yeah.
And I really wanted a sister, always wanted a sister. So, you know,
but
I'm really looking forward, Reagan, to having that sister relationship.
But I'm telling you, I really think this was the Lord looking out for you, because at your age now, I think you getting a sister is really good.
Yeah.
You getting a sister at what would have been 10 years old, I don't know if that poor child would have made it. that might have not been a great thing for this poor child.
I mean, who knows? You never know. But I will say that I always have said this, that I'm so much closer with my girlfriends because I never had a sister. I think that I'm able to get a lot closer to them because I don't have some kind of like reserved place in my heart for a sister.
Okay. Well, so this is crazy because I'm really the opposite of that.
Okay.
Like if you look back at my friendships, my really close friendships, they've generally been with females.
Really?
Yeah. Like my best friend in high school was a girl. Best friend in college was a girl. Like I think it's interesting because maybe it's because I had three mothers. Yeah. Like I didn't know.
You had no sisters. You had three mothers. Yeah.
I had no idea what the options were, but.
And I always joke like, oh, well, I got a bigger wedding budget, or, oh, I didn't have to share my clothes, or this, that, and the other, being the only girl. And it has its perks. Don't get me wrong. Being the only girl has its perks. But if I do have another baby, I hope that I have another girl. Like, I love really? Being a girl mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Well, yes. And I agree, because I love the fact that we have two boys, like, yeah. because they do, like you said, they go hard in the paint, and they are also very different, but they go hard in the paint, but they are there for each other. And that gives me a lot of comfort knowing at some point we're going to die. Right?
Like, right.
And you want them to be close and, you know, and all that.
Those are the biggest arguments when people ask me if I'm going to have another baby.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two things I struggle with. One is, like, single children are usually weirdos. Like, no offense.
Well, it's because of the lack of social interaction with another child at home.
Right.
And they end up growing up too fast.
Yes.
With adult. Yeah.
And then also, like, when I kick it one day, I don't want her to be alone.
Be alone.
I want her to have people. And I do.
I think a lot of people have that concern.
And I, you know, I do think that I consider myself to be pretty close with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make me feel good that one day when they do pass, I will have my brothers with me.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
See, I don't have to worry about that. My mother will outlive me.
Oh, one. She'll kill you. Yeah.
She will outlive me.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Like, I make these jokes all the time with my mom. Like, okay, mom, so when I'm gone, like, make sure, like, I'll just, like, list off these things and she'll, you know, whatever. But
she loves it.
She does love it. So, okay, well, we have danced around this long enough.
We have.
This,
it's time to get
it's time
down and dirty.
Down and dirty. And this is a sensitive issue for me.
Okay.
Let's talk about the favorite.
The favorite child.
The favorite child.
Everybody has one.
Everybody has one. And it can be so painfully obvious, but yet parents act like, what are you talking about? Like,
we do not.
Stop lying. If you would be honest about it, I would probably respect you more for it. Like, just tell me. Like,
okay, so who is the favorite?
So my sister Liz is the favorite. If we had my other sister on the phone, she would completely agree.
Who's the second favorite?
Probably my other sister.
Okay, because I thought you might be able to sneak in there because you have the same face as Liz. But so you're the least favorite.
I am the least favorite child.
The moms are sticking together.
Yeah, I am the least favorite of this child. I am the least favorite child in my family. But what is so funny is I, like, forever have worked to try to get into the favorite status. And it's futile.
Yeah,
it is so
futile. It's not going to happen.
Just as a quick aside. So, it is like, I don't know, this has been probably a month before it got cold. My mom, she loves to have her wood-burning fireplace going all winter long.
Okay.
She will burn a cord of wood. So here I am. It's not even cold yet. And I realize, it's like, you know what? She doesn't have a lot of firewood left. So, like, on my own accord, I called and was like, hey, you know, got paid for it, had it delivered, and everything, like, weeks in advance, just in an attempt to get, like, a
couple brownie points.
Anything.
Yeah.
And, like, my mom was just like, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need anything else?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
That'll be it.
I'm busy worshiping the ground Liz walks on.
You may go
call back later.
You may go now. What about you? Who is the favorite in your family?
You know, my brothers would swear up and down that it's me, but they're wrong, because the favorite child in my family is Hubba.
Wow.
And you know it's true.
Well, see, I haven't seen your parents interact a lot with Reagan. So I don't. And I mean, and really, I just hear all the stories about Declan.
Yeah.
But I can see this with Hubba. But that is funny.
My parents tolerate me for Hubba.
You know, honestly, I could. Now that you say that, I probably could poll and maybe become the favorite of my in-laws.
Oh, you definitely.
I could be the.
Yeah, you're competing against Beetle D and Beetle Dumbass. You're definitely the favorite.
Maybe I should be working this other angle in order to get to
unfortunately,
achieve
I don't think that I would win the same category as my in-laws, but I mean, you win some, you lose most.
But here's the thing. The favorite child is not always the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be like the favorite child is the one that, like, that the parents try to help the most.
Sure.
Have you ever noticed that in some families where it's like, and how annoying is that?
So annoying. Now, I will say that is not the case in my family. Survival of the fittest is certainly, like, if my parents feel like you are working hard, taking care of your shit,
right,
like, keeping it in line, you're going to inch into the favorite category.
Okay, so are you saying that your parents have a fluid?
Yes, fluid favorite system.
Fluid favorite system.
Yes, I think that you can fall from grace and gain into grace with whichever way
your behavior is going. Now, that's interesting.
I don't think they have just instinctual a favorite other than Hubba.
Yeah, because I was about to say, what could Hubba do that would really ever...
Yeah, I think Hubba's is pretty secure in that favorite
spot. He's kind of exempt from this. Yeah. The rest of y'all are just crawling for second.
Yeah.
Battling it out for
second. Now, I think if one of my brothers sent firewood to my mom, I think he'd probably get in the favorite category for a minute. I do.
Maybe I'll send your mother firewood next year instead of my mom.
That's a good idea.
Maybe see.
I think she would appreciate it. Okay, then it would be you and Hubba, and then the three biological
still
siblings,
battling it out.
Still
slugging it
out. Wrestling down here.
But I have seen that time and time again where it's like the most successful of the children, like, because I am not going to say that I'm the most successful of my siblings. But both my other siblings are very successful. Now, my one sister went to seminary, and that's the reason she got into the number one ranking and will never fall out of it.
Yeah.
Because she became a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So she's number one, and then that's why everybody else is battling it out.
Okay.
But it doesn't stop me from trying, and I do not know why, but I mean, like, I literally do everything for my mother. Like, she wants...
Get your ass to seminary. She wants... Everything? You're doing everything for your mom? Okay,
you're right,
Pastor Matt.
that was where my error went. But it is interesting because I don't think that there's anything I could do to achieve the favorite status. I mean, I have two grandsons for her. My other sister only has one granddaughter.
Liz has zero.
Yeah, and Liz has zero. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm providing a lot here, and I don't feel
firewood,
like... Firewood.
Children. You're carrying on the family name.
And, you know, my mom has this great saying, and she will tell me often, she's like, the reward for not killing your children is grandchildren. Like, that is kind of... And I will say, I put my parents through some
cruel. Fair but cruel, I was thinking. Fair but cruel. Yeah. All right, Matt Hanley, final thoughts on siblings.
So, you know, when you're talking about siblings, for me, I will always love my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're wonderful. I think that relationships will get strained over time. I do think if there's any way possible, you know, to try to mend fences when need be, admit when you're wrong, when you need to be. Because my sisters and I have gone through, we've had a lot of ups and downs.
Sure.
In our lives, respectively. And so I do think that when possible, you try to mend those fences and try to stay true. But at the end of the day, I do think, and I will for always, till my dying breath, know that my sister was the favorite of my parents. What about you? What are your final thoughts on siblings?
Final thoughts on siblings is a lot like you. I love my brothers. I would love them a lot more if one of them was engaged. And I would also love them a lot more if one of them did not become engaged too quickly. Declan, talking to you. No, but, you know, it's funny. My siblings and I, we have gone through phases where we're a lot alike.
Yeah.
We're very different. But at the end of the day,
right,
the thing we have in common the most that we can always bond over is that our parents are lunatics and we are just trying to survive this together. And we will always have that.
And I think that is great. And that becomes so apparent, especially in this time of holiday seasons,
mm-hmm.
where for some, this is the only time they're able to get together because of geographic, right, whatever. That's when you meet the crazy aunts, like you were talking about earlier in the show. Like, you meet these others and you go, okay, yeah, like, it's pretty normal. You know, like, we're in good shape.
No, there's a sign that one of my really good friends has hanging in her house, and it says, remember, as far as everybody knows, we're a nice, normal family. And to me, that sums up the sibling relationship absolutely perfectly.
Yeah, that is good. That is really good. You know, another good way to join a family, if you will, siblings, if you will.
Yeah, you looking for some siblings?
Yes. We recently launched the Shallow Squad Deeply Shallow Podcast group page.
Facebook group page,
which we invite everybody to join. And this is really, this is kind of what we really had always envisioned, a place where our listeners could go just like you and I do,
right,
just like siblings do, just like best friends do, be able to go someplace and like share your stories and share what's going on in your life and all that.
And so, find support from people, yes, who are there to keep it real with you.
Going through maybe something similar.
Yes, going through something similar.
All of that. So we really want to invite everybody to join the Shallow Squad, Deeply Shallow Podcast Facebook group.
Yes. This is going to be a space you can come. You can let us know your mental health number.
Absolutely.
You can let us know things you're struggling with. You can share some funny memes.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that is you're facing, whatever is affecting your mental life or your mental health, that's what this group is there for.
We're going to post questions. We're going to put our polls up there. We're going to get, you know, we want to get feedback on topics you'd like to hear from us and things like that. So we'll also use that as a way for you guys to communicate with us, but also to communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
So we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
Really excited about that launch. Okay, Tara. So I also, before we wrap up, before we get into your favorite segment,
yes,
I want to give a shout out to one of our great listeners who posted a hilarious video.
Yes.
Her name is Hannah. And Hannah has a great video up that I believe we shared it on our main page on the Deep and Shallow podcast.
And we'll put it in the Facebook
group in the group as well.
Yeah.
But she did this great, great video of doing the intro, kind of a lip sync intro version of the show. And it's really, really great. So but Hannah, we love you. Thank you so much for the support.
Yes, thank you.
And
you look good in that. You look good in that Shallow Squad shirt, girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we've been taking it deep with the siblings. Now it's time to take it shallow with your favorite segment.
I hate that.
Tara, what are you hating this week?
Okay, let me tell you. It has been a minute since I have breastfed. Thank God. Because I did not like it.
It was not an enjoyable experience for you?
No.
Okay.
But I have recently learned of this thing thanks to a friend of mine on social media. She posted about this practice called power pumping. Are you familiar with that?
The only appropriate response would be no.
So power pumping is when you pump 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off for an hour at a time, then take a 2.5 hour break between sessions and do it all again. So you are essentially pumping all day. I mean,
what if you have a job?
Well, they make breast pumps now that like are, I almost said wireless.
Bluetooth.
They're a Bluetooth. Yeah, they're Bluetooth voice command that you wear like in your bra. So like you can be pumping and I guess maybe no one noticed. I'm not sure. But people, do not come at me with breast is best, fed is best. I don't care how you feed your kid.
Right.
But if you are power pumping, RIP to your nipples. RIP. Because that is a level of commitment. I have no interest.
You would be unwilling to.
I would be completely unwilling. I'd be like, okay, we are going to solid food. I know you are 3 days old. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So shout out to those women who can do that. But if someone should be like, oh, you know, Tara, how do you feel about power pumping? I hate that.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, Matt Hanley, what are you hating?
Okay. Well, being that we are so close to Christmas, we're what, 15 days from Christmas now?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, so kids are 12 and 9.
Okay. Your kids, not
my
kids.
Yes. I'm sorry. My kids are 12 and 9. So they're at the age now where all they really want is gift cards. And, you know, it's not nearly as fun as at B's age. But when I go to the effort, this is my hate that. When I go to the effort of really thinking, because the easy way is just to give them gift cards.
Sure. Like, be done with
but
it.
But when I really find something and really think, man, this is a great gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give it to them and it's like nothing. Nada. No,
they're like, where's our gift card?
Yeah, where's our gift card? Now, here is what is crazy. The reason this is prompted in my head. Just about a week ago, a gift that I gave the oldest or that we gave the oldest last year for Christmas that I was so pumped about. It's like this little board that he hooks to his computer and can make all different types of musical sounds.
Okay.
I think they call them like an MDI board or something, a mixer or something like that.
Okay. Sounds really complicated.
It is very complicated. Well, he had a little trouble getting it set up at first and blah, blah. Well, then like I never saw it again.
Okay.
All of the sudden, a week ago, I started hearing it. And I was like, I thought you couldn't get it hooked up. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I figured out. I was like, I literally got you this gift a year ago and you're just now using it.
You should have got him a gift card.
I should have got him a gift card.
What do you want from him?
Well, I don't know.
He told you what he wanted.
Yes. Actually, no, I think he did tell me he wanted that. Now that I think about it, he did tell me that and then still didn't use it for a year.
So this is a double I hate that.
So I think maybe I'll just that'll be his gift this year.
Oh, that's a good idea. Just rewrap it
and say, hey, you're finally using it again. Kids, they can be the worst.
They're trolls.
Yeah, they are trolls.
That's what kids do. They troll. Speaking of gifts, you know who is going to have more than enough gifts?
Who?
B.
Really?
Yes. So you know how everyone always asks me, where do you buy her clothes?
She's
always dressed the best.
Sure.
Looks the cutest.
Yeah.
And we got a package the other day from Posh Little Pig.
Yeah. That's cool.
And it was stuffed to the brim of the cutest clothes, the cutest shoes. There was, you know, pajamas that were made of bamboo. They were like the softest pajamas I have ever felt. Meanwhile, I'm sleeping in a shirt I stole from my college roommate in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But this chick has bamboo pajamas from Posh Little Pig. So I've been getting a lot of comments like, where do you get her clothes? She's always looked so cute. Posh Little Pig, that's probably like the official sponsor of B's Closet.
So B has by far been the best recipient of goods and services from this podcast.
She really has. I mean, people are looking out for this little girl.
She has benefited really well. You have done well for
we
her.
We own all the Grinch things now.
Yes.
And now we have this, her wardrobe for her entire third year of life is complete. So, I mean, definitely check them out, you guys. That's poshlittlepig.com. They have all the cute things. All right, you guys, that brings us to the end of our episode talking about siblings. So pick up the phone, give your siblings a call.
Yes.
Find out who's the favorite.
That's right. If you're having to ask, it's not you.
Yeah, but then kick them out of the call and come up with a plan to make them look bad to your parents. All those secrets you've been keeping for them, you call up mom right now.
No more. Let
her know. You throw them under the bus because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Just remember, we may sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast.
And like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience. But I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, podigy.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.